Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you serious?
Thank you for killing some time with us. This is Hard to Kill an Hour. My name is Marcus Bronzy, and today I just want to get straight into it. We're joined by a friend of the show. He's also a mate in real life as well. What's going on, Richie Driss?
Easy. How are we?
I'm good, thank you very much. So the date that we're recording this today is the 10th of November, 2020. How's lockdown treating you? Lockdown 2.0 that people are talking about it like it's like new and improved.
I know, right? The new and improved lockdown. Do you know what? Compared to the first one, let me start by saying that in all of the lockdowns, I can't complain because I've still been in work and I've still been able to live a little bit. I've been working, so that's what counts for me. I haven't lost my job or anything like that. I haven't had to go on furlough, thankfully. So in the grand scheme of things, I'm blessed, absolutely fine. However, and lockdown 2.0 is the same in that I'm still working. The first lockdown, I had to work everything from home. It wasn't very, very, very nice. But this, at least I'm still out and about, still able to do little bits and bobs here and there.
Yeah, man, you've been doing bits. Like, we like to start off the show asking how people have been killing time recently, and you went to Wales and looked like you had the time of your life. Can you tell us about, you're allowed to tell us about that now, aren't you? Because that's gone out.
Yeah, I am. I went to Zipworld on a shoot and did quarry karting, and it was one of the most fun shoots I've had. And what made it better was it was a head-to-head challenge, and spoiler alert, I won. That's what made it. That was the icing on top of the cake.
Rep Africa out here, bruv. You've got to do your job.
Sorry.
Oh, he's become that guy now. Richie's phone's ringing. It's all right. Where is it? A producer?
Okay, I apologize. But if you get the television show that my ringtone is from that just then, gold star for you.
I didn't hear it. I'm going to guess. Match of the day.
No.
Oh, I don't know. Didn't hear anything. That was just a random guess. What was it?
It was BoJack Horseman.
Is it BoJack? Okay, cool. Yeah, are you allowed to watch that when you're on Blue Peter?
Listen, am I allowed to? No. So what they do is there's someone in the corner of my flat just staring at me and making sure that every single piece of content I take in is like a Blue Peter audience piece of content.
Your Netflix is set to children's, so you're watching all of the cartoons, bro. Yeah, cool.
Exactly that.
Anyway, Zipworld. Zipworld.
Zipworld was amazing. We did the quarry karting, which apparently opened the summer before last. 18 months ago. And it's basically, the idea of it is you sit on like a glorified tricycle, but bigger, without the pedals, without a roll cage or anything like that. And you use gravity to take you down this track, which is built into the quarry. And the idea is to carry as much speed as humanly possible, because as I say, you don't have any pedals. And that's it. Try and get to the end of it as quick as you can.
Is it dangerous?
We were getting up to between 30 and 40 miles an hour. Potentially dangerous, but just all the fun. So much fun. I actually thought that there'd be like a roll cage at least on it, and it's not. Yeah. There's not. So
30 miles an hour is fast, bruv.
It is, especially when you're on a tricycle, and also some of the corners, like you've got some hairpins and some chicanes. But if you get those wrong, yeah, there's a little sort of bank of rock. If you go over that, it's going to hurt, to say the very, very least. Maybe even worse than that. Yeah, they said they had some broken bones.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring.
At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's so much fun. Honestly, genuinely.
So there were broken bones, potentially, but you didn't break any bones. You had so much fun. Cool.
I'm all good. And I won. And that's what counts.
Nice. Did you get up to anything else on there? Because they've got a few activities there, which will be good to kind of look at doing once this lockdown is whatever over in 2020.
Yeah, when it's over. I didn't do anything there myself, anything else. We were only there for that one event. But they have got, now I need to get this right, but they've got either the longest zip line in Europe and the fastest zip line in the world, or just swap those two things over, the fastest zip line in the world and the longest one in Europe. One of those two things. Basically, they've got a really kick-ass zip line as well.
All right.
As well as some like underground trampolining thing that I can't really describe to you, but it looked amazing.
Underground trampolining. Yeah, I don't know about that. I'll do the zip wire though. That sounds cool. Might have to kill some time with that in the future. What else you been up to, bro? In case you don't know, by the way, Richie Driss is a Blue Pretty presenter, which is why he is going to be immaculately sensible on this podcast and clean for the duration of his time on the children's BBC channel.
You won't hear me swear, not right now anyway. I've been doing all the gaming. Like this year, I mean, I'm a big gamer anyway, but this year in lockdowns, I've been gaming differently, obviously, because I haven't been able to work as much as I would have done before. But when I say gaming, I have turned into a bit of a completionist.
Okay.
I finished Red Dead Redemption 2, but then I was wandering around, without spoiling it, I was wandering around as the character that he plays at the end, just trying to find anything that was extra to do, and then looking up online if there was anything I could do. Been going.
So you tried to 100% the game?
No, I haven't done that. I haven't gone that far. Not yet, okay, anyway. Cool. But there's just too many games as well to play up. Warzone has been taking up so much of my time. So much of it, because I've been playing that with mates during lockdown. I've got, like, literally on my list, I'm going back through Red Dead Redemption 2 now. I've got all of the Arkham games to play.
Yes.
Batman Arkham games. Then I've got Red Dead Redemption 1 to replay. Then I literally just been speaking to a mate earlier about going back through every single Halo game, but cooperatively. Then Cyberpunk 2077. Then, I haven't even talked about the PS5 and the Xbox Series X and S being out inevitably, and not inevitably, very, very soon. So
yeah, well, they'll be out now. By the time the pod's out, the Xbox will be out now. The PlayStation potentially will be out by the time this podcast's out as well. But yeah, man, it feels like we're not lacking in games, are we? Because I feel exactly the same way, bruv. There's so much out there that we could still play. There's loads out there that's still available on the current gen, should we say, and then next gen, which is just dropping. There's obviously a plethora of games as well. What are you leaning towards at the moment? Are you an Xbox man or are you a PlayStation man?
I've had every single PlayStation with the exception of the PS3. And that time I went with the Xbox 360. I will be going PS5 first. I'll be getting the Xbox a little bit later on, but I'll be getting PS5 first.
You know, the Xbox has kind of got the affordable version, yes, as well. So you can kind of get all the next-gen stuff without having to buy a big old expensive console. So they've kind of done you all right there.
Do you know what, though? I've I've gone back and I've played on the very first Xbox One that came out. You remember that huge, huge thing?
The brick.
I went back and I played on that because I'm lucky enough to have the Xbox One X. Going back and playing on that old, not old school console, but going back on what feels like playing on an Amstrad compared to this, I just have to have sort of the best of the best. So I need to save the pennies a little bit longer.
It's yeah, man. I'm telling you, Richie, this 4K 60 frames or 120 frames that they're talking about is no joke. Like the Spider-Man game that I've been preaching about on this podcast is amazing. Once you flick it in, once you get those 60 frames a second, they've got two modes in the game. I think it's performance or luxury. I don't know, or whatever looks good. And performance mode means that you kind of get the game performing at a lower, whatever rating. And then you've got pretty mode, which means that the game is rolling and it's beautiful, bruv.
Beautiful. I'm all about the pretty mode. To be honest, unless I'm gaming competitively, I'm always about having it look as good as possible. Like, I'd rather play The Last of Us 2, for example, looking as good as it looks on my PS4 Pro and on my 4K HDR TV, than try and bring down the visuals in any way for a smoother frame rate.
100%. But luckily, this next gen is looking like it's delivering some smooth games. And not only that, like, you're getting a lot of titles that you could access on your PS4, on the PS5. Xbox has got a plethora of games out as well, with Game Pass. I mean, they want us to play the current games on the new consoles as well. But you mentioned The Last of Us, Richie. How are you finding The Last of Us?
Listen, I would say that The Last of Us Remastered is the best game that I played on the PS4.
Okay.
And that is a PS3 game.
All right.
The Last of Us Part 2, when it comes to just gameplay, is the best game I've ever played. It's definitely up there. It's top three, probably, in terms of graphics, in terms of control system, in terms of artificial intelligence. Everything in terms of gameplay is a 10 out of 10. Now, the storyline, and let me start by saying this is purely it's subjective. So this is a purely subjective thing I'm saying. And for me, I loved the character of Joel so much. Am I allowed to go into spoiler territory here?
Yeah, man, it's old enough. Spoil it.
I love the character of Joel so much that the storyline, as much as I loved it, it just wasn't for me personally. And now, don't get it twisted. If this was any other game, like any other franchise, if it was, I don't know, Grand Theft Auto Part, whatever, I would love it. I would love it so much. It's only because, like, take that same storyline and put it into a different franchise, I'd love it. It's only because, like, Naughty Dog, they had their work cut out for them, because the first Last of Us game is the best story-driven game I've ever played.
All right.
And I love like the Doom games, Half-Life games, Max Payne games as well. Max Payne 1, 2, and 3 for me were previously the best story-driven games. But The Last of Us Part 1 is just exceptional on every single level. And I love the character of Joel so much. I'm not saying I love him because he's a good person. He's not. He's an awful person. But that's what makes me love him so much. For him to have been killed off so quickly... I don't care about how he was killed off either, because that just adds to just how dark and twisted that world is. I don't have any sort of problem with that.
Okay, cool.
Do you know what I mean? For it to have been so quickly, it broke my heart. I have never, ever felt as upset about any event in any game, any plot point in any game ever than that right there. I managed to avoid the spoilers. And do you know what? Even... I watched some videos just in the lead up to this, and I've just been having a spin on it as well. It just made me feel sad playing it. But Naughty Dog accomplished everything that they set out to do. They pissed off a lot of people. Like, everyone was fuming. But that's what they wanted, so that it gave you that motivation to play the game through and to get your revenge on Abby. Now, my problems with the story is I understand what they were doing with Abby. I just think that... Now, it's been a while since I played it, so you might have to correct me on this, Marcus, but I just think that Abby's storyline, when she came across the Scars, she was so quick to side with them and dick over the WLP, was it?
What was it called? The Wolf...
WLP.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
She was so quick to turn her back on them by like, okay, they saved her life, fine. And then she called it even by guiding them to that campsite and then sort of leaving them there going to have the woman's arm amputated, the sister's arm amputated. She did that. She called it even. But then it just went on and on and on and on. And I was like, how can you be so quick to put yourself and all of your colleagues, friends, and the whole alliance that you are a part of in danger over them saving your life once? Nah, I'm not having it.
Did you complete the game or did you put it down?
Yeah, you completed it.
Okay, cool. I feel like you were
game.
All right.
I completed the game, and as an experience, it's unparalleled.
All right. I respect you for at least grinding through it after that, because losing Joel was enough for me to have to take a little break, like only a couple of hours, but I just had to stop the game and be like, nah, you took away Joel. You, not only that, you took away a man who'd gone through so much and survived, and he went out like a chump. He went out like a chump. So I understand you were carrying feelings about that, but you really sound like you hate Abby. You didn't get around to the point in the game where you're supposed to kind of start to fall in love with Abby and kind of what she's about. You just don't find it realistic what she did.
I understand everything that Naughty Dog was trying to do. I understand it. It didn't convince me. I think, like, Abby was so concerned with saving these two Scars. They saved her life once.
Yeah.
She then saved their life once. Cool, fine, fair enough. But then she started on this warpath of killing her own.
Yeah, that was a good plan, isn't it?
How can you be so quick to turn your back on your own people like that? For these people that, yeah, they saved your life, but you know, you made things even with that. And with those two characters, Lev and Lev's sister, whose name I've forgotten, it just kept like, there was just more and more and more. And it was as if Naughty Dog were trying to, with Abby's storyline, it got a little bit close to the melodramatic for me. And I was a bit like, okay, yeah, I get this world is horrendous, but this is a little bit too much. Like when Lev killed her own mum.
Yeah, but that needed to happen though, bro. That needed to happen.
It did.
It needed to happen.
It was a lot. And I've never ever thought I would say this, because I'm quite cynical when it comes to like making cash cows out of series and franchises and all that kind of thing. I never thought I'd say this, but I just think with The Last of Us, that part two could have been a part three, and it could have expanded on Joel and Ellie's story and Tommy, who is the most nearly useless character, like Joel's brother. Like, what, you pop up every now and again, but for me, part two should have been Joel's brother dying, Joel going on this revenge story for his brother, and Ellie being there, of course, as well. Or that's where the conflict between them comes in. You know, should he or shouldn't he go on this revenge story for Tommy? And then left everything about part two for part three. Maybe.
Right. So, Richie, with that being said, in about like 6 years' time, when the new Last of Us comes out, Last of Us 3, are you going to be playing it?
Yeah, definitely. Like, definitely. There is zero doubt in my mind. I'll be buying it on opening day because I'm enthralled by it. I may not, as I said, look, this is a very personal sort of opinion.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's right. And as I said, Naughty Dog set out to do everything they did, and I can only applaud them. What they've done is incredible. I'm talking very personally, and I know I'm wrong, and I know they don't care, and more power to them, fair play. But the game itself is just exceptional. I just wanted the storyline.
You want the story to go differently.
I just wanted the storyline to go that little bit differently. And the thing is, though, is I am being harsh on it because of how good the first one was and because of the expectations I had for it. Because as I said, if that exact same storyline was put in any other universe, I'd be like, wow, this is a masterpiece.
Mm. Interesting. How interesting, Richie Driss. You're like the first person I've spoken to who's played The Last of Us that didn't like it with a legitimate reason. I mean, just because Twitter had reasons for not liking it, but they were just, let's not get into that. They were just stupid, boring, misogynistic ideas. But that's interesting. But I feel like the way that it's, the game's made you feel, I feel like they've accomplished what they wanted to do. Because at the end of playing The Last of Us 2, I didn't feel like the same sort of level of accomplishment as I felt like after I finished Spider-Man, or like I will when I finished the new Spider-Man, where I'm like, yes! After I finished playing The Last of Us 2, I just sat down for 10 minutes, bruv. I think I slowly walked over to the kettle and made like a cup of tea with three sugars. I usually have no sugars, three sugars, and just sat there like shivering on the couch thinking, Abby, what have you done to your life? You get me? It was mental. Absolutely mental.
Well, I think I played like Crash Team Racing or Crash Bandicoot or Overcooked or Moving Out. Something that was really like Worms.
Yeah.
Something that was so polar opposite.
Yeah,
because that game drained me differently.
It was rough. Even the scene with Ellie at the end, Ellie and Abby fighting, and they make you fight. Like that's what I like about The Last of Us, or shall I say about those kind of types of games where you feel like you have a choice, but really there's no choice. You are doing it their way. And when they make you make your characters do things that you don't want them to do, I think it's such an interesting way of making you immersed in a story, but also feeling their level of helplessness as well. Because you can't relate to a character's helplessness unless you have to do something you don't want to do or experience something you don't want to experience. And I think they're classic at doing that, man.
And that is why I love my films and I love my music. But when gaming is at its very, very, very best, it draws you in and just wraps you up in its world like no other medium possibly could, because you've got that control over the characters. And I'm not going to lie to you, when I first started taking control of Abby after she killed Joel, I just threw her to the zombies, to the stalkers. I threw her to the stalkers. I put mines down and ran into them. I did nonsense because I could.
You know what? I think you're going to like the new Spider-Man. And if you're going for the PS5, I think you're going to like it, because they've actually got a lot of action sequences. Like the style of kind of push button action sequence and stuff like that is really, really interesting. And they've it's a lighter story because it's Marvel, in it, and it's not a zombie apocalypse. But you might like that as well, man. I think it will be a good laugh for you, man. So I look forward to hearing what you think of the PS5 as well, especially the control pad. That could be a game changer. Yeah, man. A big thing that we've spoken about here, that we've discussed it more recently, obviously, and by the time this pod's out, there'll be a lot more chat about it, is how the control pad, if utilized right by developers, could just change the world, man. Like, change the game. Change the game.
So this is the haptic feedback that I've heard a lot about.
Yeah, haptic feedback and the L2 and R2, you get resistance, but the resistance can make it feel like you're pulling a trigger. It can make it feel like you're a spring. It's real resistance. And the rumble, it's like with the Spider-Man game, a car drives past pumping music and the rumble kind of simulates the music, but it's like a more fine rumble. Probably not as good, if I'm honest, probably doesn't feel as smart as the Nintendo Switch Joy-Cons. Like when you move those around in one of their demo games, it feels like there's ball bearings in them rolling around, but it's smarter. But yeah, those haptic L2 and R2s are going to be great. Probably wouldn't use them when you're playing things like Warzone and stuff, because you just want the game stripped back. You don't want the controller doing anything other than what you want it to do. But moving forward, it's quite a cool control pad. It feels good in your hands as well. I'm showing it to Richie now. He's showing it. He's seeing it. He's touching. He's clutching at his chest. But it feels if your hands are at home in a PS4 controller, they'll be at home in a PS5 controller as well, man. They're good. They're good. And you know, the thing is though, with controllers, Xbox could bounce back with another controller soon. Do you know what I mean? They've done it before, because the Xbox X controller is very similar to their Elite version they brought out for the Xbox One as well. So yeah, man. But anyway, look, you have to get onto another show now. You're going to be on Mr. Midas's show, Too Many Games, aren't you?
I am.
What are you talking about? Throw to it, and then we'll put a link to it in the show description.
I'll be talking about how I have got a ton of games to get through, and I have too many games, not enough time.
There we go. Not enough minutes in this one little life. This is Richie Driss on How to Kill an Hour. Not me. I'm pointing at him on a video. So that is Richie Driss over there. And if you fancy watching CBBC, with your kids or yourself, make sure you watch it. Richie's pretty good on there, man. He's a good geezer. And you've had two new additions to the team on there, haven't you, recently?
Yeah, there's a whole four presenters.
You're not the new boy anymore.
I am not the new boy anymore.
Deep in the game now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I've been there 18 months now.
All right, cool. All right, yeah. Wicked. But where can we find you online anyway, so we can see more about what you're up to?
Right, well, I'm on Instagram at Richie Driss, all one word, no T in Richie, because why? I'm also on Twitter on exactly the same handle. However, my Twitter got hacked into, so I've not been on Twitter for like a week. And as I speak, the world has had one hell of a party in the last week, and I've not been able to partake in any celebrations because
Twitter is the best social media at the moment. I just want to say it is popping on there. Have you not thought about making like a little side account just to observe? No?
Very tempted, you know.
Crack on, do it. Let's have Dritchy Wrists. Anyway, there's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time with us. We'll be back with the episode real soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.